Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today on the On Inquirer podcast, it's my annual chat with Illinois football's Executive Director of Personnel and Recruiting, Pat Embleton. Pat has been with the program for 11 years now, started under Tim Beckman, stayed under Lovie Smith, and Brett Bielema found him so valuable to his staff early on, and so knowledgeable about Illinois recruiting and just the dynamic of everything that he kept him on and really promoted him to basically the general manager of Illinois. And Pat's job is really, really important, as roster building is so, so important. And his staff has expanded during the Brett Bielema era. They now have 8 people on staff. And we hear, according to Football Scoop, that Nate McNeil will be moving on and basically getting a promotion, going to this new Syracuse staff. Nate has been under Pat Embleton for the last 3 years as director of player personnel, basically the number two for Pat. And Nate was here during the Lovie Smith era for a couple years as well before he went to Temple. But that's a great option and opportunity for Nate McNeil. But Pat leads this ship, and Maya Green is really important in what they do. Patrick Pearson is really important in what they do. Jay Kaiser in the transfer portal. Drake Leeper, Jabbar Popcorn Morris. So a lot of people that get involved in player evaluation, putting these visits together, the creative department of it with Pat, Maya Green, and just the logistics of all these things. Pat's the head of it, and the signing day for this recruiting department is kind of their Christmas day, right? Like, this is all the work has led into this day for the most part, and for Illinois to get 2 transfers on top of 19 signees on this day, I'm sure they had a celebration in that Illinois football recruiting department Wednesday night. But I got to catch up with Pat in the middle of it all on Wednesday during signing day, in the middle of these transfers kind of happening. And we kind of do an overview of Illinois football recruiting. We talk about this class kind of in broad strokes. We talk about a little bit of the top guys in this class, how they approached building this class. And then we dive into JUCO, how they've approached that market, and we really get into the transfer portal and how Illinois has kind of gone about how to attack the transfer portal, what they want, and what it means for their program. And then I ask Pat about the NCAA and things that he thinks can change in recruiting and what the NCAA needs to focus on when it comes to whether it's reining in or expanding recruiting, all those different kind of things. And he gave some interesting answers on that. Then I talked to him about what the staff takes pride in and in the next steps of what they can do in recruiting as well. So I always think it's kind of our state of the union of Illinois football recruiting with Patrick Embleton, our conversation on signing day. That's coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast. This bustling holiday season, you might be looking for nutritious, flavorful meals to fuel you on jam-packed days. Well, Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you eat well for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all of your holiday to-dos. Treat yourself to high-quality, delicious meals over the holidays. Choose from 35-plus chef-crafted meals every week that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences, whether it's calorie-smart, vegan and veggie, protein-plus, and more wholesome options. So cross meal prepping off your list this holiday season with Factor. Skip the meal planning, grocery shopping, chopping, prepping, and cleaning up, and get Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals delivered to your door. They're ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Head to factormeals.com/Illini50 and use code Illini50 to get 50% off. That's code Illini50 at factormeals.com/Illini50 to get 50% off.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's National Signing Day and having my annual State of the Union, I think we like to call it, with Illinois Executive Director of Personnel and Recruiting, Pat Embleton. Pat, every class has kind of its own personality, all those things. How would you kind of describe this class and what it means for the program?
Yeah, this class was fun. This class was really fun to be a part of, especially because of the early commitments. We had the majority locked in through June, and just the relationships we were able to build, not only with the kids, but with their families. Like, one of the closest classes that I've been a part of in terms of parents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, that every time they would come to games or come visit campus after their OV, it wasn't more recruiting based. It was more like a family reunion type, and just really, really happy and excited about all the young men that we sign, quality people, quality families, good students, good character, everything like that. So it's another good class, another step in the right direction to make this program what it is.
I know you guys probably don't think of it this way, but from the outside, A.J. Dennis is the highest ranked guy in this class. Malik Elsley was one of those guys last year. Those are big flips. Colin Dixon was one of those. So just from your perspective, those guys were committed elsewhere. What's the approach of staying in it with those guys while respecting their committed elsewhere? How do you guys handle that? Because you've obviously done it well.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that you said is the respect part of it. You have to find out from each and every kid, like, how they're going to respond when they commit somewhere else, right? And so our philosophy is always high road's the best road, because at the we wanted AJ the first time he made it, and we thought we were going to get him the first time, but it's knowing the value of when to reach out to them, how frequently you reach out to them, who you reach out to, whether it's a high school coach or a parent or a grandparent, just letting them know that you're thinking about them, whether you're giving them tidbits of saw AJ kick some butt, all that stuff, right? And we weren't very frequent throughout the season, just a little bit here and there. And then when the news came out with Michigan State going a different direction with their coaching staff, we kind of felt that he would reach out to us first at that point. And we wanted to respect him in that sense. And so when a conversation was initiated on his end, we knew we had a real opportunity.
So when you look at this class, was there anything that was – you knew coming to this class, like, you guys loaded up on the line of scrimmage this year. Is that the identity of this class? Obviously, you hit every position, but what were the check boxes you guys needed to check off?
Yeah, roster management's something that we go through every single day, and it changes. But going into this year, we knew O-line, D-line wise, like we had to take, we knew what numbers we had to have at a bare minimum. And I think defensively, especially D-line wise, like we knew the high school kids that we needed to bring in order to just balance from a roster, from a, you know, a number standpoint that would be able to keep us successful in the years to come. Because you can't always just rely on strictly a 1 or 2 year transfer in that sense. Otherwise you deplete your roster, and that's where injuries come through, you know, when you're playing younger guys that aren't ready for it. So, O-line, D-line was a big factor into it. And then, you know, skill sense, like, we knew we couldn't load up on running backs this year. We knew we couldn't load up on quarterbacks, all that stuff. Because again, you got to balance out between your high school takes and you still have to leave some slots open for the transfer world. So, going into every season, like we already know what our 25 bare minimum needs will be. And then obviously as we play through spring ball in the season, that'll alter slightly. But yeah, it's something that we project out at least 2 or 3 years just to know where we're going, what we need.
You know, every year, you've been here 11 years, Nate, or Pat, that we're going to talk about in-state recruiting. And, yeah. And you guys have signed 24 in-state guys over the last three classes. But the competition for in-state, I mean, you're seeing – you know, Clemson come in, Miami come in and get some guys. What is that like? Like, how do you guys feel about your in-state efforts and just the competition that's coming in to try and steal some of these guys?
Well, I think the competition just speaks volume as to how good, how high quality the football is in this state, right? And that's something that we love. Obviously, the state of Illinois, with Chicago being the most, you know, population-wise part of it, is very talented. And it's going to continue to be recruited by programs across the country. And I think that's a good thing for us, because we have an opportunity now where we're going into year four to start showcasing how we should be up at the top, how we should compete at the top. And I do think that schools, coaches, players, parents, they recognize that, because we're getting a lot more unofficial visits. We're getting a lot more phone calls picked up, text messages returned, for guys that in my, you know, previous regimes worked here for that wouldn't even say hello to us type deal. And so, you know, we need to continue to make our state the priority, and that is. And I know, looking forward to the 25 class, it's a very, very talented class again, and there'll be a lot of kids that a lot of programs are going to come after nationally that already have. So we just need to continue to be true to who we are, and just show them what kind of atmosphere we can provide them, not only on the field, but what we can do for them in life, what we can do for them off the field, and how we can make them a better person.
I have a dozen other states you got kids from in this class, which is pretty amazing. I mean, Utah, it's been a long time since you've gotten somebody out of Utah, like Easton Baker, Nebraska, Tanner Hollinger, first one since World War I that you guys have gotten a kid. Is that intentional, or is that just the way it goes? What do you guys credit that to, being able to kind of spread your tentacles that way?
I wouldn't say it's intentional. I would say we have started making, just year three, like we've started building relationships, right? So you take a look at Nebraska. That's somewhere, you know, Bart Miller was born in Nebraska, kind of grew up there before he moved to Illinois, and so he had connections and he recruited that state from other programs. So year three is us being in those high schools for a couple years, right? It's us kind of laying the groundwork. And now Utah is a little bit different. However, it's that, you know, we're going to always try to find the best players that we feel will fit our program and our need. And so if that means it's taking us out to Utah to go see Easton Baker play, and then, you know, end up basically flipping them from programs, like, we'll do that. Because at some point, too, your competitive nature wants to take over, and if a highly sought after kid is out of your recruiting footprint, but you feel like you got a shot, then, you know, as a man, you want to go in and win that one, right? So, but yeah, just us kind of being consistent the last couple of years of not only focusing on this state, but starting to touch you know, surrounding states and some unusual ones. I'm not shocked that we're starting to get a little bit of payoff.
You guys have dove into JUCO recruiting a lot the last few years. What have you learned about it? How did you kind of approach JUCO recruiting in this cycle?
Yeah, JUCO recruiting is not taken off, or it's not unknown, but it's a little bit different now because of the transfer portal. I do feel that there's a lot of very talented junior college players throughout the country, and from our standpoint, you know, we need to just be prepared and always scout, evaluate, get to know kids in the junior college ranking, because it's a little bit under recruited in my opinion. Like there's some programs that have a, I don't know, misconceived notion of you're going to recruit a JUCO kid. Well, a JUCO kid 10 years ago is different from this year. Like the three junior college players that we sign are all full qualifiers this year, right? And
is that different because of COVID, because of less scholarships available for prep guys?
Yeah, it's different in my opinion because of COVID, but additionally because of the portal. Yeah. There's just, you know, guys are getting overlooked, and guys get to go and develop. Like you look at a guy like Daniel Brown, right? He just was named a first team All-American, led the nation in sacks. He went to school in Kansas. That's a good school, good high school that has a lot of athletes that's come out of that state. But I think there's just a lot of players that are going under the radar now. And if we can go in there and find a niche, and we're not like, you know, under previous regimes, we've recruited out in the California JCs and some of that sense. And we target who we want to see, when we want to see, and how we see them pretty early on. And we don't like to stray too far from that. And so it gives us more time to do our background on the JC players than anything. So
obviously you guys celebrate the signing day, but you're in the middle of the transfer portal, which almost, you know, supersedes some of this stuff because it can make such an immediate impact. What has been your guys' strategy in the portal in this cycle? Is it different than the others, or just how have you guys approached it?
Yeah, it's 85 is 85 first off, right? There's 85 scholarships that we can play with, and so when we set our target top number for the high school and JUCO players that we want to sign on signing day, it leaves us wiggle room to go after and target transfer players. Obviously, the draft to guys graduating to injuries all play into our factor that we need to go address kind of some immediate needs. And so the portal world, we've known what we need to do and what positions that we need to fill that we feel is going to make an immediate impact for next season, right? You very rarely are looking at a portal to add depth or add something that you think would come through in 3 or 4 years. That's what you do. That's why you recruit high school. And so transfer portal is more addressing your immediate needs and hoping that they are, you know, that they want to come. And that's.
I feel like every time we talk about NIL every year, it changes a little bit. First year, it wasn't that big of a conversation you talked to me about. Last year, it became every part of conversation. How is NIL broached in both senses? Recruits, you guys, how big of a factor is it? And just how do you feel about NIL in recruiting nowadays?
I think NIL is a good thing. I do think that NIL is like I had said last year, it's a part of every conversation. It's a part of every, I shouldn't say conversation, more like question based from recruits. That is one of the first questions that they want to know, or their parents want to know, and rightfully so. I mean, this is a giant, college football is a big time market, and I get it from a student athlete standpoint for sure. As far as what we do, there's very little things, and I know that there's some you know, rules, talking points being discussed right now by the NCAA and higher ups that are going to allow us to maybe be a little bit more freely in the conversations we're allowed to have, just because we're not technically allowed to do, you know, have numbers and say that stuff. And so we do follow the rules and we play by that, but you know, Coach B kind of handles all those conversations, but it is alive and it's well, and it's something that you know, at Illinois, I know we can be competitive, and I think you'll see some things pay off.
Yeah. NCAA, you know, is figuring all this out. They made a rule change on photo shoots. I don't know how much that impacts you guys, but what would you push? You know, you're in this every day. What would you push to change with recruiting rules? What are some of the biggest issues you guys are facing that can be altered, changed?
Yeah, well, first, from the photo shoot standpoint, I think it's total BS. Like, to me, and we've had, we kind of live on that. And I'm not saying, like, we have a really good balance when kids come on visit as to the information we want to give them, while also allowing them to have some fun, too. And for schools that say, oh, well, we don't have the time to budget this, or they spend too much time doing that, like, we have rules, and we lay those rules out. Basically, if we can't communicate to a prospect, right, if we can't communicate, if you're not a junior or senior, you're not doing a photo shoot, and we're the one initiating it. If a kid comes up to us that and says, hey, I want to do a photo shoot, we'll say no. And if that kid doesn't end up saying, well, I'm not interested in you, then, okay, that's part of our, that weeds out some kids that we know what the priorities are, okay? So that's the photo shoot side of it. I think from an NIL side of it, like, there needs to be we do need to have a little bit more discussion, interaction, and just kind of, you know, letting a prospect and a parent know the rules behind it and what to look for and the questions that they need to ask, not only us, but other schools that they're looking at too. And so, again, us allowing kind of more freedom with those talks would be great. But the one thing that I look back, like, we added an 11th coach a couple years ago, right? 6 years ago, maybe. And that's been great for our guys because they get more teaching on the football field. You take it from the recruiting piece to an evaluation piece, like, coaches should coach during the season. We have these large personnel departments now. We should allow personnel people to go evaluate in person. We should allow us to act as a more of an NFL department, go get background, character. And you know, when NFL teams come in here, they don't have interaction with players, right? Like, they're doing all the background information, and it's easier to get to. Like, information's easier to access. And you can kind of get more of a more well-rounded opinion of a player based on the field, off the field, academically, when you do it in person and you see people. And so that would be the one thing that I would love to push for. I don't know if we'll get there, but at least in the Power Five world, you got personnel departments like us that are 6 to 8 people deep. Like, we can go do some damage on the road. So,
is there anything that can be done about the calendar? You know, I don't know, because you guys are so swamped this time of year, but at the same time, these guys got to get in the school in January, so they got to take these visits. Is there any problem with the calendar? Do you have it all, or any way of fixing that? Because I know you guys, you know, the coaches are paid well and all that, but that's ridiculous hours you guys are walking.
Yeah, it's hard. This is the most difficult, you know, two-month stretch, just because of what you said. You're signing your prep kids, and then you go into a dead period tomorrow, or really Sunday started the dead period until January 3rd, which opens back up for mid-year transfers, right? Well, all the meantime, anybody that has committed to you that are mid-year guys, they got to get in school. Well, most schools shut down from this Friday until after the New Year's. And so that's the most difficult aspect, in my opinion, right now, is figuring out how you can universally create, like, an admissions piece to an eligibility piece that people will answer on holidays, or, you know, that's the hardest part. And it's all based on which schools. Like, we start on the 16th or the 17th this year, and so we get a little bit leniency, but that also means guys that are transfers can still have an opportunity to go visit elsewhere because they're not locked in until they step foot on campus for it. So the calendar, I will covet my Julys, I know that. Yeah, the calendar's that. And we all know what we're getting ourselves into in college football.
Well, as we wrap up here, Pat, and always appreciate your time, like, this staff has expanded a lot over the years, especially under Coach Bielma. What do you guys take pride in most so far in your 3 years together as a staff, especially as you've, you know, been together for some time and been able to kind of figure out how you want to approach things? What do you guys take most pride in?
I think we're just true to who we are, right? We all have one shared vision, and that's to win. Nobody has egos on this staff. It starts from the top down, and I do believe that, like, we do use family. It's everywhere in this building. You see it all the time. But I think if you ask, when you talk to recruits, when you talk to parents, I think they feel that in this building more.
I can confirm that. They say that all the time. Like, it might be a cheesy saying or whatever, but they feel it. Yes. It is different.
And that is something that, like, we are intentional about from the moment they leave their house for a visit to the moment they get back to the house. We have to operate at a first class in everything we do, in everything that we display, every minute that they're on our campus. And so that's something that we take a lot of pride into, especially in our recruiting department, that we will bend over backwards to make sure that everything is first class for them, and that they walk out of here feeling like, man, I feel comfortable leaving my son here, or I feel comfortable coming back and visiting, or I feel comfortable having a difficult conversation with them, because they're going to be real, honest, and no BS to us. And so,
last thing, how can you guys up your game? How can you even get better?
Great question. I think just by continuing to address immediate needs in the transfer portal world, you know, more bodies would always help, but sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I'm going to eat my words on that one. Probably going back to you, changing the calendar a little bit to get a couple more days off here and there. But I do want to say, Jeremy, like, obviously our staff, love them to death, love working for them, and I want to shout out, you know, our recruiting and personnel staff, from Nate McNeil to Pat Pearson to Maya Green, Jake Heiser, Drake Leeper, Houston Griffith, John Proto. I think a lot of what we've done, they don't get a lot of notoriety, and each and every one of them mean something to me and to this program, and we wouldn't be where we are today without those guys.
What is today like for you guys as a group? I know the coaches are on the road and all that, but you guys, this is what you breathe all year. Like, what's signing day like for you guys?
It's fun. We started at 5:45 this morning, concluded at 8:07 a.m., and there were some tears shed by people. There were families that FaceTimed us that looked like they just got out of bed and they were crying. But it's a fun time, and it's emotional, and you get an opportunity to now get these guys here to campus and watch them blossom in front of your eyes. And that's the best part about college football, is you see them grow from a junior in high school to, you know, a fourth or fifth year senior in college, and
potential rookie of the year.
Correct. That's true.
Well, Pat Embleton, always appreciate the time, man, and insight, and can't wait to catch up again next year to do this.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeremy.
Great stuff from Pat Embleton. Appreciate his time and insight. Hopefully gives you another look into the Illini recruiting department and just their philosophy as they attack this class. All right. Heading up. Family is getting ready to go to St. Louis. It's our annual trip down there. I like to do the Polar Express, City Museum, all of that. So it really feels like the holidays when bragging rights happens. So everybody enjoy your trip down there if you're going there. Enjoy the game if you're watching from home. And most of all, happy holidays to everybody. We will do a bragging rights podcast afterwards. But check out everything we have at Illini Inquirer. Boy, it's been a busy time, but proud of all the work we've done. Joey has done a phenomenal job. Ryan Easterling with all the video breakdowns he did of signing day. And Derek Piper had a fantastic mailbag. So go check all that out. I just broke down top 2025 targets to kind of keep an eye on early in this cycle. Obviously, Illinois is going to shoot high for a lot of these great in-state defensive linemen, but kind of break down 10 guys that I think they could be sitting in a pretty good situation with, and really important targets, I think, Power 5 targets that they're looking at. So you can check that out. And I included my first crystal ball of the class of 2025 in the favor of the Illini on that one. So check that out at Illini Inquirer. Right now, we have a great holiday deal going on for the next week around the holidays. 60% off for a VIP membership to Illini Inquirer. That's more than $70 of savings, just 12 cents a day for the next year of Illini Inquirer membership. Trust me, you won't regret it. So if you haven't tried our VIP membership, now is a great time to do so. All right, everybody, have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am ready.
Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!